Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath services. This Sabbath follows the day after the massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. Everyone wants to know why the violence, why it happened, what was the motive of the one who did it, what were the circumstances behind it. Everyone's going to try and figure out what it really is. Now, there are some people who understand what's happening in America. There are some who realize we're leaving God, and they are doing the best they can to understand it in the light of God's Word. But most people fail to understand that there is evil. You cannot have human secularism, which says we are basically good people, and all we need is the right environment. All we need is the right education, and we'll be fine. We'll get rid of evil. But it seems as though the more education we have and the more prosperity we have, the less that we are getting rid of violence. Not only do we live in a violent society, we live in a violent world. Look at all the violence that is going on in the world. There's a report just this morning on the radio of a man in China who attacked 22 children in China and stabbed them with a knife. So is the knife what is wrong? Is the gun is what is wrong? And why would God allow it? Everyone is bemoaning, which we should, those innocent children who were killed in a very deliberate and very evil way. And the parents need to be comforted the best they can, but that kind of thing is, there's no comfort that is going to come anytime soon. And so the greatest question that they will ask themselves down through time is, why did it happen to my child? Why did I lose my 6-year-old or 7-year-old? Why was it the son of one of the substitute teachers there? So they fail to realize there is a Satan, the devil, who is the author of evil. And he's the prince of the power of the air. Now we know from the Bible tells us, that Satan cannot do anything but what God grants him to do. We can read the book of Job and understand that. And we also know that since God knows everything, he knows what happened there. Not only that, God also understands everything that is going on. And we're living in a nation and in a time that, because lawlessness is multiplying, not just growing, multiplying. And violence is connected with that. Just like it was in the days of Noah. Every imagination of every person was evil only continually. Now, a lot of people who think that they are good, they don't understand human nature. Granted, they may be better than those criminals in jail or the one who shot the children, but nevertheless, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the real sin begins when not understanding that evil is also residing in each one of us. And that the only answer to that evil is not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. The answer is God. Because God made us to need him, to need his spirit. God also has given each one of us a spirit of man as well. And he's given all of us free choice. And he set before us life and death, blessing and cursing, good and evil. And God's command is, since I've given you this choice, choose life, that you may live, and that your children may live, and that you may be blessed. But human beings like to think that they know more than God. And they come along, and they think, also with the inspiration of Satan, the devil, and the demons, that they can think of a better way. Because God's way is not good enough. failing to realize that God is perfect, His laws are perfect, His commandments are holy and righteous and good. And yet, those who are responsible for teaching us about God, supposedly the clergy, they either say we don't need the law of God, or we can go by our own traditions, which are all add-ons of men, or that God has done away with His law. And they fail to realize that if you do away with the law, as Paul said, where there is no law, there's no sin. So why would they stand in the pulpit and call people to repent of sin if the law has been done away and hence there would be no sin? And so people have been perpetrated upon with great hoaxes, lies, good-sounding things. I mean, all you have to do is thoroughly examine the practices of the holidays of this world, which all of the Christianity of this world supports, and even many of the other religions of the world also support, and understand they're based on lies. And you can't build truth upon lies and have the right foundation. It will never, never, never work. So let's come to Romans, the 5th chapter, and let's see what God has to say about this, okay? Romans, the 5th chapter. Now, first chapter, if I said 5th chapter, beg your pardon. Romans, the 1st chapter. And the reason being is this. When you read this and understand that it reaches back in time to the actions of the people before the flood, it reaches forward into the time of the Apostle Paul, and it reaches on out to the return of Jesus Christ. And it describes the cycle of what nations and empires go through, and how that because they sin and God's judgment is upon all nations, that there are those forces of evil that come along as correction from God for other and greater evils. So let's first of all come here to chapter 1, verse 16. Now this thoroughly describes to the T our society and world today. And you can amplify that with all of the things that we have on the technological basis. And you can amplify that with all the things, as experts have pointed out, the virtual violence that we teach our children through the games that they play and the televisions that they watch and the movies that they go to and the schools that they attend. So let's see what has happened and how this has come about, because the answer is God, not the sorrow of man. Verse 16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation." See, when you set aside God and tell God we don't need you, you don't realize that salvation only comes from God. You don't realize that you need God, in fact, every minute of every day. To everyone who believes, because God has done something so great, we have before us with the Bible the words of God, as God spoke to the people beginning with creation, down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, down to the children of Israel, the giving of the law. We also have it on down to our day, the Gospels, all about Christ, which is really a very magnificent thing that God did. Since the children of Israel could not stand to hear the voice of God, and they said, "Moses, you speak to us and we'll listen." Well, they ended up not doing that. But God took them up on that proposition, and He sent His Son into flesh. So really, the Gospels are exactly what Jesus would tell you if you said to yourself, "Well, I would like to sit down and talk to Jesus." But you know, that was 2,000 years ago. However, God has solved that problem by preserving His Word. preserving the Greek text for the New Testament, the Hebrew text for the Old Testament. And it addresses the human condition through all times, but you have to believe, both to the Jew first and the Greek. For therein, that is the gospel, and the whole gospel accounts for the Old and New Testament as well. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed. Now the righteousness of God is his goodness, his love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his forgiveness. It is also his judgment, his punishment, and all of the things that God does. And the righteousness of God tells us how we are to live. God did not give any law that was not good. And when it comes to the New Testament, the laws have not been expunged as some religionists teach. They have been expanded and given a spiritual meaning and have a higher meaning and judgment for us because of that. And God also has done something else. For those that answer his call, he gives them the knowledge and the understanding of his word, though it's here for everybody in the world to read if they would read and believe it. And today, with so many Bibles in the world, they are without excuse. You watch the news. How many will bring out a Bible? How many will say, God has said this? How many will say, maybe we better examine how we're living our lives? Maybe even a preacher will tell you, God says repent. I've given sermons where I've shown that this nation is going down and going down quickly. And the only thing to stop it would be a revival in repentance, as we find in 2 Chronicles, the 33rd and 34th chapter, showing the repentance of Josiah and the people. Now let's see how it's revealed. From faith unto faith. Now the Greek there is eis, which means God's faith to you and your faith to God. And eis means into. Comes into your mind and your consciousness and your being. According as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now live is a way of life. And faith is not only just a belief, but faith is the standard of conduct. Because if you believe, you will do. That's what God wants. Everyone wants the love and blessings of God, and God has shown how to receive it. But everyone demands the blessings of God and the love of God, though they wallow in sin. And it just doesn't work that way. That's why the world is in such a mess. And that is why they can't understand what happened. So let's read on. Now verse 18. Indeed, the wrath of God. Now people don't like to hear the word wrath of God. See, because God hates evil. God wants to rescue us from sin. If we repent, the wrath is removed. If we don't repent, and in a society, evil keeps growing and growing and growing, then the judgment gets even more severe. Now, an interesting little sidebar. The Greek word for judgment is krisis, spelled with a K. And what are we looking at with the English word spelled with a C? A judgment, a crisis. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness. All of those who reject God, all of those who say, we don't need to keep your commandments, God, we have a better way. And all of those atheists and agnostics and those who believe in evolution, that we came from slime and grass or mud or Big Bang, whatever. They tout themselves as being very intelligent, and they have all the answers, and yet they are a primary cause of the problems that we have, as we will see. Now notice what they do. and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Oh, you don't have to believe the Bible. Oh, that was just written by men. They make themselves better than God. But here's what they fail to understand. Because that which may be known of God is manifest among them, for God has manifested it to them. God has always given a witness. God has always done something in someone's life somewhere to save them from something, so that they know that God had to have done it. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world. Now today, with all of the modern technology we have today, we can see many of the invisible things and how they work and what they do and how the very cells of our body are all living and working all the time. Right here while I'm speaking and you're listening. Our stomachs are working, our intestines are working, our heart is pumping, our liver is working, our spleen is working, and every aspect of our body is working. All because of living cells that work, trillions of them, in the human body. Now, we can't see it, but they're happening. Okay? But what it does, what that is to do is this. They are perceived from the creation of the world. Everything that is created, everything that we can see, being understood by the things that were made. Both is eternal power and Godhead, that God is the head of his creation, that God is the head of humankind, so that they are without excuse. So that's how God looks at it. And remember this, the brother of Baruch, now Baruch was the scribe for Jeremiah. And his brother's name was Sariah. And Sariah was to take a message to the Jews in Babylon. But he was also to take a testimony against Babylon in a scroll. You find that in the last part of the book of Jeremiah. And he was to read God's words and witness against Babylon, standing on the bridge that went over the river. And when he was done, he was to tie a rock on it and throw it into the river. God counted that as a witness. What do you think about the witness we have today with what we know about the creation, what we know about the Word of God? We need to understand that as well. So they are without excuse. Verse 21, because when they knew God, yes, they did know God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own reasonings. They got lifted up in the vanity of how good they are and how smart they are. And so today, the super elite still do the same thing, don't they? And yes, they have all the answers, and they have none. And yes, they run all the political and economic systems and governmental systems in the world, educational systems, and so people are taught nothing of God, and God holds that against them because they suppress it. And what the children need in school are Bibles, McGuffey readers, prayer, study the Word of God so they can learn. How much better would the schools be if they taught just the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't bully, be nice, help someone, don't make fun of. Oh no, can't do that. That's from God. So here's what happens. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Very interesting. See, God has a way of knowing every human being. Just hold your place there in Romans 1. We'll be back. Come to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let's see what Jesus says concerning the light. Now, every human being has one of two lights. Okay? And remember, the Bible says Jesus is the light of everyone that comes into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. The Word of God is a light and a lamp. All right? Now let's read Matthew, the 6th chapter. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 22. God has a way of knowing, and Dolores has a good eye of perceiving too, because when they come on television, she can say, most of the time, I can tell by their looks what they're going to say. Have you ever done that? Yes, okay. The light of the body is the eye, and that's how you tell. See? And God knows. Plus, he's given us the spirit of man. And with that spirit of man, there is something that in the Old Testament is called the reins. And the reins are those connections that God can tap into to know any man or any woman at any time. Therefore, if your eye be sound, your whole body shall be full of light. So if you have the Spirit of God, if you have the love of God, if you have the faith of God, if you have the Word of God, and if you're overcoming sin, there is light that is in you that has come from God. Verse 23, but if your eye be evil, through lust, through hatred, through anger, through bitterness, your whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, who is the one who is the master of darkness? Let's come to Acts, the 26th chapter, and let's see. Acts 26. There is one who is the master of darkness. He's called the God of this world. Satan the devil. And whenever we leave God, we subject ourselves to his world, his society, his influence, through the society, through friends, through whatever. All right? Now, let's come here to verse 17. This is after he was knocked to the ground and the light appeared. And he said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, will you get up and I'll tell you what to do. Verse 17. I am personally selecting you from among the people and the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Notice, to open their eyes. Because, see, the natural state of every human being is that spiritually they are blinded because they disobey. And when does that start? As soon as you teach children to do things that are not right. Now, what does Satan have already in place for hundreds of years to snatch up the children's minds right away? The holidays of this world, right? And they're all lies. Yet they're blessed by Christianity. It's like with the Christmas tree battle that's going on right now. Raging, you know, some want it taken out, some wanted a winter tree, some wanted a Christmas tree. Little do they realize what that tree represents. Little sidebar. It represents the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And every home that has a Christmas tree, or wherever there is a Christmas tree, regardless of what they call it, they're acknowledging that they are living their lives according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and not God. They're walking in darkness to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to God, because the whole world is in the power of the wicked one. So that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified through faith in me. Now the me is God, not Paul. Okay? I'll come back here to Romans, the 1st chapter. Let's see what happens when you walk in darkness and don't know where you're going. Let's see what happens when you reject the light of life. Let's see how this society functions. Verse 22, while professing themselves to be the wise ones, oh yes, we know everything. Listen to the commentators as this goes on during the week. Listen to what they are going to say. Ask yourself the question, how many bring up about God? And how many bring up the possibility that this crisis is really spelled with a K instead of a C? Professing themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools. Look at the education that we have to run the country, the elite. Look at what they're doing to the children. They start inaugurating them in politically correct language that is dictated by the homosexual community in kindergarten. So here's what they did. Here's what it is today. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of the image of corruptible man. Secular humanism. And look at how they glorify men. Look at those who are the ones to look up to. Look at the great stars, the movie makers, the entertainers, the politicians. They're idolized, but they don't know God. Then look at all the other things. Look at the gods that they have. And at birds and four-footed creatures and creeping things. Next time you watch some football games or basketball games, look at what the team mascot is. An eagle? A bear? A longhorn cattle? Okay. And those are those idols. And yes, you can go online and buy your idols. It'll be a statue of your famous athlete. A t-shirt that has his number and name on it. And you can get out there and wildly cheer for your team. Because sports and pleasures are good. Yet you're out there breaking God's Sabbath and his laws. Now notice what happens. God is not way off someplace. God reacts when these things take place. He reacts when these things take place. Verse 24. Something happens. Very interesting comment, the reaction of people and their religious practices, because this year is 12, 12, 12 on that day. They honored the Virgin Mary. There were many weddings, great feastings and parties. Where do you find that in the Bible? Yet they think that is good, they think that is right, but they don't understand what has happened to them. Verse 24, God is actively involved. He removes his presence from them even further. Notice verse 24, for this cause God also abandoned them, left them unprotected and alone, to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to disgrace their bodies between themselves. Do we have that today? Yes, we do. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Oh, we don't need the Bible. We don't need the Word of God. Oh, this God of the Old Testament is harsh. We need the loving Jesus. Now it is, we don't need Jesus at all. Now it is, if you just be a good person, you're going to help change the world. Well, God tells us that's not going to happen. The lie. False Jesus, false God the Father, false Christ, false commandments, the traditions of men, idols, immoral sex. And that's one of the first things that they get into. Okay? And they worshipped and served the created thing more than the one who is creator, who is blessed into the ages. Amen. How many are really worshiping God? Oh, they go to church. They listen to radio and television. Some may even have Bibles. Some people may be coming close. I hope and wish to God that he would begin to open their minds and call them so that they would know the truth. But sometimes it takes some radical intervention by God to do so. Has he sent hurricanes and storms and droughts and floods and crop failure? Yes, he has. Have our children become delinquents and drug addicts and sex obsessed? Yes, they have. Those are all warnings. That all brings sorrow. The poor families back there in Connecticut, wonderful, nice little town, perfect setting. Just the ideal setting so that there would be no evil. A nice little community, nice little school, everybody close, and look what happened. Why did it happen? Maybe there's another reason they need to look into. Let's go forward here. So here's the second abandonment. Now they're removed even further. For this cause God abandoned them to disgraceful passions, for even their women changed the natural use of sex into that which is contrary to nature. Same-sex marriage, male and female. And in the same manner also the men, having left the natural use of sex with women, were inflamed in their lustful passions toward one another, men with men shamelessly committing lewd acts and receiving back within themselves a fitting penalty for their error. Now come here to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's see why sex sins are mentioned so much in the Bible. Because it involves other people. And it also is absolutely against the purpose of God creating us. Where is it taught the right kind of sex in school? Where is it taught that God says and will bless you and honor you if you stay chaste until you marry? Oh, you're old-fashioned. No. They've got to put an ad on for the Progressive Democrat Party in America with a 13-year-old girl. You remember that ad? Did you listen to that ad? Did you watch that ad? For women's rights and contraception. And saying to the girls, now, if you're going to lose your virginity, make sure you choose a good guy. National political ad. Does that tell you how far low the morals have sunk? Yes, indeed. Let's see what God says. Verse 15. Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ because they were committing adultery and fornication and incest? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. But we're turning our young women into harlots and our young men into whoremongers, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 15. Okay? That's the result of our education. When they're coming into puberty, you teach them in the godless government schools how to have safe sex. Well, what do you think they're going to do? And mommy and daddy aren't home because Satan has the society worked around to where both have to work to make gargantuan payments on house or rent. Add to that all the cell phones, pornography online, and even those ministers who are supposed to teach what is true, they are hooked on pornography. Millions of them. God say, may it. Paul says, may it never be. So he says, what? In other words, in shock and ignorance? Don't you know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For he says, the two shall be one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee sexual immorality. Because you see, once you get trapped into it and your lust is working up, your blood is not in your head to think. So the only thing you can do and the only safe thing to do is get out of there fast. We have an example of that of Joseph in Egypt. But when women are given the liberty to entice and to go after men, men become the victims just like butter put in a pan to melt. So God says, flee sexual immorality. Now, here's the reason. Every sin that a man may commit is outside the body. Okay? If you steal, it's outside the body. Okay? But the one who commits sexual immorality is sinning against his own body. Now, they had to have a public announcement up in Richmond, California. A little community there, given over to all the modern sex sins that are coming out of the schools, warning the children not to have sex because 80% of the active girls were infected with sexually transmitted diseases. A judgment from God. Is that a personal crisis in the life of the individual? Yes, indeed. All right, so Paul says, tells us the purpose of why we have our bodies. What? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have within you from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because those things have lasting effects. That's why there are so many women who are infertile. Because they had so much sex and had venereal diseases, and the fallopian tubes will no longer release any of the eggs. So the way they have babies is with in vitro fertilization. All right, come back here to chapter 1 again. Now let's see what God says about this. And remember, husband and wife who have been faithful, especially before marriage and during marriage, there is not one case of venereal disease that will ever happen, because that is a blessed marriage. All of the other sex acts are cursed. Cursed physically, spiritually, mentally, and destroys the minds of men and women. And God's judgment comes because of it. Verse 28, but they think, oh yes, we can get along. Oh, I can run down to the doctor. Oh, he'll give me a shot and everything will be just lovely. No, it won't. Verse 28, in exact proportion as they did not consent to have God in their knowledge. Okay, here's the third abandonment. God abandoned them to a reprobate mind, a mind that cannot think, a mind void of judgment. And you can see that in the reaction to the coming fiscal cliff that we're all looking at, correct? Yes, 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 yes. Even the president is wild in his use of money. He demands of Congress, give me unlimited use of raising the debt ceiling so we can borrow, 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 spend, 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 print, 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 because we don't want our constituency to not have their benefits. Well, the truth is, they're all going to be gone one day, and now what are you going to do? You don't have enough sense with a reprobate mind to even know how to balance a budget. One little sidebar. If there's an electronic failure anywhere, try buying something at the store. None of the clerks have enough mental savvy to be able to count change. They are so dumbed down that all they know how to do is push an icon on a screen and read what the change is. They couldn't use their minds to do it, reprobate minds. They don't know what is right. They don't know what is wrong. They think all sex is pleasure. They think all pleasure is good. Whatever it may be it sports or games or whatever, abandon them to a reprobate mind to practice those things that are immoral. Against God. No constraint in your behavior. You will lie. You will cheat. You will take. You will be jealous. You will be bitter. And all of those things, they all come. Do we see it in a society? Now, I think some time ago I gave a sermon and I said that, well, men bludgeon people and shoot and kill, and women poison. So Dolores and I were driving out shopping, and there was a news report about this woman who poisoned her husband. Hey? Wickedness is there. Now, let's see what happens. But first, let's take a break.